You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government has indicated
The Wire. A recent report by the UK medical journal, The Lancet, estimated that the actual number of casualties in the Gaza Strip would be above 186,000. This number was estimated based on the percentage of infrastructure in Gaza destroyed by Israeli missiles, as well as the impacts of famine and communicable diseases caused by Israel's war on Gaza. I spoke to John Minto from Palestinian Solidarity Network Aotearoa to discuss the figures published in The Lancet and what it means for the war on Gaza. We also spoke about New Zealand's involvement in RIMPAC, as well as Christopher Luxon's increased support to Ukraine. What do you think that the updated death toll means for the conflict in Gaza?
Well, what it means is that the situation is far more extreme than we had previously thought. The figure of 38,000, which the world has been using, comes from the bodies that have been brought into hospitals and medical clinics in Gaza. But that's clearly an underestimate. We know that there are at least 10,000 more people buried in the rubble. And then what the Lancet is saying, or what the piece in the Lancet is saying, is that if you compare this with previous conflicts, the real death toll will be about four times greater because of the effect of the war on the lack of medical facilities for the general population and the spread of disease and in this case, starvation. So we're talking about around 8% of the people of Gaza being killed as a result of this conflict. So it is a genocide, and the world needs to see the situation through those eyes.
Israeli officials and spokespeople had previously been saying that the number of 38,000 quoted by the Gaza Health Ministry was purposefully inflated to tarnish Israel's reputation. However, the new research we've just seen shows that actually the Gaza Health Ministry was underreporting the real number of casualties. Do you think that these new figures will change discourse surrounding Israel's war in Gaza?
No, I don't think they will change the discourse, because the Western news media, and I'm talking about the Western news organisations as well as the major media outlets across the Western world, are all taking Israel's side. They're all highlighting Israeli justifications, Israeli reasoning, the Israeli position, and simply sidelining Palestinians. And so we're seeing basically Western governments don't care. New Zealand government doesn't care whether it's 38,000 or 500,000. They're simply not interested. They are simply following the US. More important from New Zealand's point of view to be in bed with the US than to be an irritant to Israel and the, you know, in terms of what it's doing in Gaza.
Do you think that these updated figures will have any impact on our government's stance on Israel's war on Gaza?
No, I don't think they will, because our government is cemented in support for the US and Israel. It refuses even to call for a permanent immediate ceasefire. It refuses to condemn Israel's genocidal slaughter of Palestinians. It has refused at every turn to criticize Israel in this way, whereas it has condemned outright the killing of any Israeli civilians. So we see a blatantly racist position taken by our government. And, so far we've been unable to shift the government on that.
Another thing I wanted to talk about with you is that the New Zealand Defence Force was recently involved in the RIMPAC naval exercises in Hawaii and was found to have done no due diligence to check the legality of Israel's participation. What do you have to say about this? Do you think it's surprising in any way?
I don't think so, because New Zealand is part of the Five Eyes network. We are part of this European-dominated alliance, which regards the US as the not just the preeminent world power, but supports the US position that the US be the great global leader, which will not tolerate any other power developing to challenge it. So New Zealand is very much aligning itself with the US in a way that we haven't done in the past. And I think that's dangerous for New Zealand. And it's And it's particularly dangerous now for the people of Palestine who are suffering the most brutal military assaults by Israel with arms provided by the US and also, we're almost certain, provided by the Auckland company Raycom, which provides these crystal oscillators which are used in the guidance systems of the US bombs that are killing Palestinians.
Peace Action Wellington reported that the New Zealand Defence Force responded to queries about Israel's participation in RIMPAC by saying, questions about Israel's involvement should be directed to the US military. Do you think this is an appropriate response from the New Zealand Defence Force?
No, it's not. It's a craven, cowardly response. New Zealand should stand up for its own values, for what it believes in. We shouldn't be going along with anything the US says simply because the US has said it. It's New Zealand to stand up for our for an independent foreign policy based on values of human rights for everybody and justice across the planet. Instead, we're simply kowtowing to whatever the US says and going along with that. That's not what a decent, self-respecting country would do.
Do you think that our government is apathetic to the public backlash against our ties to Israel, whether they're direct or indirect?
Yes, the government knows that it's costing them in terms of credibility with standing with Israel and the US, but at the moment they are prepared to tolerate that and they think they'll be able to get away with it. But I think the levels of hypocrisy are so extreme that the general public in New Zealand are very, very strongly in support of Palestine and against the views of the New Zealand government. Whenever there have been polls taken, and there have been a couple over the last 8 months, the big majority of New Zealanders want to see an immediate end to what's happening in Gaza, and they want to see justice for Palestinians. That's what the people of New Zealand want, but what our government wants is alignment with the US. So the two are implacably opposed, in a sense, and the government hopes it can ride it out, and we're determined that the government will be forced to hold Israel to account for what it's doing.
Lastly, bringing up an area where our government is apparently not apathetic, after Chris Luxon's recent attendance at the NATO summit in Washington last week, Luxon made a strongly worded condemnation of Russia's bombing of the Children's Hospital in Kyiv, Ukraine, and introduced a series of new sanctions on Russia and gave another $16 million in support for Ukraine. Do you think this is hypocritical, given the government's silence on Israel's actions in Gaza?
It is totally hypocritical. It just sticks out to everybody. We all know it's hypocritical. The government thinks that every Ukrainian civilian who dies is a tragedy, but the tens of thousands of Palestinians who are killed is simply a statistic. It is outrageous. It is hypocritical. It's wrong. It's selling New Zealand down the road, but this is something that the public of New Zealand, we know, do not accept. And I think this will cost our government politically. And in fact, we must ensure that it does cost this government, as well as the US and Israel, very heavily for what's going on in Gaza right now.
Do you think that New Zealand is shifting closer towards US-led hegemony?
Yeah, absolutely it is. This is a process that started under Labor with Jacinda Ardern being invited to NATO meetings and going to NATO meetings. I mean, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, this has nothing to do with us, and yet we went along with what the US wanted. And this happened particularly after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. New Zealand jumped really smartly to stand alongside the US and stand alongside Ukraine. And, of course, the war in Ukraine is occurring specifically because the US would not give Russia security guarantees that there wouldn't be American missiles on Russia's border. So it was understandable what Russia did in invading Ukraine, although it wasn't acceptable and it's not justifiable. So, but New Zealand is really taking, again, standing very strongly with the US, which is the country in the absolute wrong in this situation. We should be standing independently for our own values and what we believe in, and that means, you know, justice for everybody. And justice is the precursor for peace anywhere.
Just kind of going off of that last comment you made, you mentioned that Russia's invasion of Ukraine was understandable because the US and NATO couldn't give Russia those security guarantees. But do you think that their actions in Ukraine are justifiable?
I think New Zealand should have immediately the war broke out, New Zealand should have intervened immediately and called for immediate negotiations. Those negotiations occurred 2 months before between the US and Russia, but the US refused to give Russia the security guarantees it needed. So if you remember back to the 1960s when there was the Cuban Missile Crisis, where Russia was attempting to put nuclear missiles on Cuba pointed at the US, and the US screamed no, and there was a confrontation. And this is precisely what's happening in reverse. The Americans want to put missiles aimed at Russia right on Russia's border, and they refuse to give Russia the guarantee that wouldn't happen. And so Russia felt it was pushed into a position where it had to invade Ukraine to prevent those missiles being established. Now, that doesn't justify what Russia did. Invading a sovereign country is not on in this world, but that the reason it did it is understandable.
Finally, to wrap things up, what rallies and events should our listeners at BFM look out for this week?
Look, there are rallies all around the country. We've now got, I think, 29 different centres where there are groups affiliated to PSNA organising weekly events. So look out for those events. Get in touch with the PSNA website, get onto our newsletter, and you'll get details of all those events every week. So that's just psna.nz. Getting onto there and getting yourself on the newsletter will be the first step. And also, look out for August the 10th. We've got a major push around the country on August the 10th for national protests and rallies that will be aiming to maximise our numbers on the streets around New Zealand. So if people are unable to come in the next couple of weeks, make August the 10th the time when you make sure you get to a protest.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.